Come back. All right. Now, we started last week on a series on what we were going to title The World, right? All right. Now, let's flip back to our foundational scripture that we began with. 1 John 2. Actually, I marked all the other ones, but I didn't mark this one because it's just on the top of my head. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Okay. Now, the scriptures also say that, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So, God is... When he speaks of the world, and when this is talking about the world, are two different things. So we know that there is a world and a world system that is diametrically opposed to the kingdom of God. And now, when we're born into this world, and you're surrounded by it. You're outnumbered by it from the moment that you get here. So, part of what we want to do with when we start going through this series is my people perish for lack of knowledge. Many times what happens is people... Go for it. That's fine. People come into this world, and because many times people are not taught that what the world is about, so you fall prey to that system. And part of being walking in Christ, because one thing with Jesus, one thing with Jesus, salvation is, and we talked a little bit about this, it's, he doesn't just save you from your sins. He saves you from this world. He saves you from this system that's in opposition to him. He saves you from this thing that, if it was not for him, would consume you. So, so when we start looking at this, because there is a system that is in place that's thoroughly entrenched, and that exists right now within the dimension that you are living and breathing and operating in. Okay. Some things to keep in mind as we start going through this series. The aspect that we're going to talk about tonight, I'll tell you that in a minute, but some things to keep in mind. One, again, the spiritual reality is the real one. The natural reality is the illusion. So, the spiritual reality is the stage where everything is being played on. And now, in the end, what you see in the natural is the manifestation of it, but everything has a spiritual origin to it. So, all right, let's flip with me. We'll flip a lot tonight, but because remember, all right, Ephesians chapter... Oh, actually, yeah, all right, Ephesians chapter 6. And... says, verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," that's the natural reality, "but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So the fight that you're in is a spiritual war. Though you see the... verse 12. "Though you see natural manifestations of this thing," and so people get mad at George Bush, they get mad at Mahinda, they get mad at some bad boss or some HR manager or whatever. Though you see those things, what's going on is a spiritual reality behind the scenes that is being manifest in and through natural agents. So even for the people that are God's servants in the kingdom of God, though they operate in this realm, in the natural, they have a spiritual force, the power and the Father, moving through them that empowers and enables all of their action. That's exactly what I'm doing with you guys tonight, is the Spirit of God, even that's when we pray and we even open things up, we yield to the Spirit of God so that He comes and flows through us. So even though I'm very much aware of all this taking place, it's not me, it's His Spirit that would speak through me, and His Spirit that would speak through any one of you that would be yielded to Him. So even like when you guys all took sessions, that's the thing, you all came back and noticed that, like, okay, as you're preparing, as you're yielding to the Father, He was doing that through you. So building that familiarity, but also realizing that, see, there is a system and there is spiritual forces that are around us that are working very, very hard to keep you from what? What's this world system working to do? What's it? It's because it's going through a lot of effort to keep you from something.
Detach you from your closeness to God.
Yes, it's the world and the world system is, and even more than that, to keep you detached from your true self. So you're seated in heavenly places. So the true you is eternal. The true you is already in the presence of the Father, because there is no time in eternity. And yet, and so the whole focus of the world is to keep you from connecting up with who you really are. Because if you connect up with who you really are, and you're still in this world but not of it, you're incredibly dangerous to that system, because just like Jesus, who came to destroy the works of the devil, you too will be used by the Father to do the same. And you won't be able to be trapped by the stuff that they're all trapped in. So there's a whole bombardment against your mind, against your thoughts, against the very core of who you are all the time while you're here, to get you to think their way. So now it comes manifest in different ways in different countries, different places. So like in the States, there's a thorough brainwashing that's taking place there 24/7. If you've been there and you've ever flipped on the television, I mean, you have 100+ channels of mindless nonsense coming at you, and anything that's really good and true is not going to be allowed through the gatekeepers that control those mediums. So very, very rarely will you find much of anything of substance there. Most of it is just crap, just dumped into people's systems, and people swallow it because they're like, oh, this is all there is. So, you know, then an environment like Sri Lanka would be, it manifests in different ways here, but there's a lot of spiritual oppression, and you
even things like terrorism.
Yeah. But all of that is working to distract you from a path of truth. Okay. So keep in mind that the spiritual reality is the real one that you're dealing with while you're here. So the focus of the world is to get you to accept the natural reality as the real one. So the world is working to make you focus on the carnal, the natural, the temporal, and to get you to invest and to give your soul over to that in exchange for perceived success in this reality. So if I was the enemy, if my focus would be to get you to focus and to buy into the illusion. So you want to be success in the world, here you go, Jesus, I'll give it all to you, just bow down and worship me and it's all yours. So we saw that last week when we talked about this. Okay. Another thing to keep in mind: too cold, too hot, too big, too small. Okay. Another thing is, you have two kingdoms in operation. There's just two. So when we look through Scripture, what we see throughout is, it's not like, all right, here's, on a spiritual reality side, it's not like, all right, here's the Soviet Union, and here's China, and here's India, and here's Pakistan, and here's France, and so, no, what you have is, you have the kingdom of God, and you have the kingdom of the devil, or this world, or the kingdom of Satan, or, and I'll show you this. Acts 26, verse 18. let's just start at verse 15. This is when Jesus appeared to Paul on the road. He's Paul is Acts 26, verse 15. Jesus speaking to Paul. Verse 14. And when we heard, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles to whom now I send thee. So he was in the world, he's taken out, and he's being sent back in. All right. To open their eyes and to turn them from, here you go, darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So, light, darkness, power of Satan unto God. So, realize that in the spiritual fight that we have and that we're engaged in, one, Satan has very real power. So when people start talking about, you know, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go kick the devil, or no, this is a very real, incredibly powerful enemy that you have, that if it were not for the power of God, he completely devours. Now, greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. So you, but the one that lives in the world is surely great. You just happen to have the stronger one in you. But if it were not for the power of God, there is no ability to overcome this world and this world system. That is why also you need Jesus. Because it's not just a slogan for a bumper sticker. There is no other power that can save, that can release people from the bondage of this world outside of the power of Jesus Christ. So he's the only one that has the ability and the power that overcame it, that was a strong man, that was able to break the whole system. And so there's the only way that there is remission of sins and forgiveness and being able to connect up with the Father is through him. So it's so with this, though, you see the two kingdoms, but then you also see that this is there's a huge, I mean, power clash taking place. Now, the Father always wins, but the other one has definite power, and without Jesus, you literally have no prayer. You have no way out. So, but there are two kingdoms that are going on. So you have the kingdom of God, and you have the kingdom of this world. So now, everything that is not of the kingdom of God is of the world. So Jesus said, whoever's not for me is against me. So it's literally is that. So there is, now you'd be surprised though too, some of the things that you think that are not God's that really are. Because sometimes it's not the people that say, oh, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, and a lot of them are on the side of the world. And then there's others who are really God's children that may not be, you know, waving around wearing crosses and all this stuff, but they're really on the Lord's side. So there were, you know, throughout Scripture, there's people that were used by the Father, were on his side, were in interesting spots. So thinking of like, even like Nahum, you know, who was healed of leprosy. And his thing is just like when he was talking to Elijah, he just said, you know, look, Elisha, he said, you know, spare me this one thing, you know, when I got to go into this temple with the king and he leans on me, you know, I'm not bowing my heart, but, you know, this is the job that I'm stuck in. And so it was like, so in his heart he'd never bowed, so in his heart he was with the Father. But okay, two kingdoms in operation. Another one to understand is that everybody is born a slave in this world to the world and the world system. So people are born spiritually dead. You're born cut off from the Father. So it's a work of the Spirit of God that brings the Spirit to life in you. It's no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. So it's God that does that. And this is also part of the masterpiece of this world, in that God would draw his people out of this whole thing, and we go through this whole process of being restored unto him while we exist in the world. So it's like this big love story, you know, where you would experience the separation from your Creator, from your eternal husband, from you'd experience that, and then you would experience then also the restoration and the redemption and true love that comes from being restored to him. So, but everybody is born separate from. So it's true that it's not by works. It's purely him, that what he does and his forgiveness that he gives us that restores us. So, also another thing is that if you are a true child of God on the path of truth, you're outnumbered and you are in the minority during your time here. So you have to keep that in mind, because there will be times when you're here, and plenty of times. Jesus said, you know, the road to destruction is broad, well traveled. A lot of people are going their way. The road to life is narrow. Few are that find it. Or the gate is narrow. Yeah, narrow gate. The gate is narrow. Jesus is the gate. Once you go through Jesus, you'll get into a wide place. But the gate is narrow. That's just, you go through Jesus. But most people go the broad way. Most people go that. And so in that, you are outnumbered while you're here. And you are in the minority, and that'll be the way it is throughout your life. So it's a reality that you have to accept, in that most people that you will cross, that'll come across your path, are not on the side of truth. And consequently, they're not on your side. They're not looking out for your best interest. They don't have your best interest at heart. They are not, you know, if there was not society's restraints on them, they probably would kill you. You know, I mean, it's literally that. That's what you're dealing with. So, now realize that it's God that sustains you and keeps you, but that's the dynamic that you're in. Okay, so some things to keep in mind as we're going through this is that, all right, you know, so it's just so you have a decent understanding of what you're in. Because that's the whole goal of even of this time when we go through this. We want to know and understand what is it that we're in, so that then we can adjust, so that we get on God's page for what we need to come through while we're here. Okay, so... So the world and the world system is a multi-headed monster. You know, it manifests itself. Excuse me. It manifests itself in different ways, and so we're going to go through scripturally some of the different ways that it manifests. But it's all that spiritual reality that's behind it. So there's a spiritual reality that's behind it that's pushing this thing. You'll start to see different ways that, and you're going to start to see, even as we go through this, how this is in your life, day-to-day basis. But not to build any kind of paranoia, but to say, okay, that is the world, and I also understand why I don't fit, and why I've never fit, and why so many of us in here, you've tried, you know, you've really tried to you know, work hard and to do a good job and to be diligent at your stuff, and yet in the middle of all of that, it's like, you know, then why are you getting blindsided with, you know, XYZ that seems to just come your way? Or why are you being attacked for stuff that has absolutely no relevance to your work? Or why is it that, you know, you just can't seem to get a break? Or you know, these, all right, heads are nodding, because it's like, because of the fact that, one, all right, if you're a child of God, this is absolutely normal. It's to be expected, because you are not one of them. So Jesus said, if they hated me, If they hate you, keep in mind they hated me first. So it's like, okay, so they do hate you, but that's cool because still they need you. Because if you were gone, there would be no reason for that, for them to even have another moment to breathe, because they wouldn't have any chance anymore. You're the last Jesus that they get to see. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because God's already done what He's going to do through Christ. You're it. So with them, it's like, so they need you. So you're doing them a favor by existing, even though they despise you. So that's love. Okay. All right. So now tonight, I want to talk some, because we last week we discussed a little bit about different ways that the world manifests. Tonight I want to go through a little bit on, and just talk about the world, the economic system of the world. Because there's God's way, and then there's the way of the world. There's a world system, an economic system in the world, that is part of that illusion, part of that system that's at enmity with God. And there's a way that it works. So people that are in the world, what they do is they figure out the way that it works. They get in there, they give their soul to it, and they make that thing work for them. And that thing does work for them because, for a season, because, again, they're doing the devil's work. So in doing the devil's work, they get rewarded by that system because, you know, the devil came to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's like they're in it, they're doing it, and you get all the goodies as a result of that. Limited offer, limited time, because as soon as it's done with you, it moves on to the next batch, and you get chewed up as well. So, but on the whole time, people's spirits are locked into that system. So their souls are locked into that system. So, okay. All right. Remember the two kingdoms, right? Okay, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And verse 13, Jesus speaking, He said, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Okay? So now Jesus, again, two kingdoms. Now Jesus then clarifies this a little bit, and with regard to this respect, He's like, alright, you will be a servant of one or the other. You know, you will either be a servant of God or you will be a servant of mammon. Now, and let me clarify this though too. Money is not, in and of itself, is not evil. But the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So it's the love of the heart, devotion, the heart given over to that is. But if you, and so in the hands of a believer, money is a tool. And it doesn't master you, but you use it as a tool, as the Spirit of God would lead and direct you and guide you. Even as we went through that one part, the truth on tithing, you know, again, bring that back into context. It's something that the Spirit of God leads and directs you to, versus the way that the world uses this. So, but the world, people become slaves to and servants to mammon, to money. Okay, what is money? You ever thought about this? Everybody's working so hard to get it. What is it?
It's like a reward in a worldly sense.
Yeah?
It's a means by which you can get something that the world places a high value on.
Okay. So, yeah, medium of exchange. People classify it as, oh, money's a medium of exchange. And something, a reward for what you do. Yeah. Anything else? It's okay. Yes, both of those for sure. It's, and let me add on to that a little bit more. It's a representation of your labor, of your efforts. So when people work, so if somebody did a day's work and you get a day's pay, that pay is a representation of the labor that you put in, the striving and the effort that you put in. Now you get something back that's a representation of that, and then out of that representation you should be able to then take that representation of your labor and your efforts and use it to get something else that's of value. So you put value in, you add value to something, and based on the value that you add, now you get some value back, something that's of value to you. Now, what that representation of people's labors, efforts, energies, and now the ability to for people to garner that, to control that, is also a representation of the efforts and their souls in their time that they spend while they're here. So when people are here and then they're in this world, that energy, that effort, that laboring that they put in the limited time that they're here, this is a representation, in a way, of that. So people, and it's, so when people, there's, with control of money in the world, there's also control in that system. There's a power that comes with that. There's a, an energy that comes off of that. There's a, you know, people that have, there's this, they fall in love with that, of this ability to, oh, whatever I want, I can get. You know, whatever I oh, if I have this much, I am above the law, you know, because I can buy my way out of something. I can, so they start to fall in love with that. And so, now, Jesus warned, okay, Matthew chapter 13, and verse 22. Says, he that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So, okay, again, the seed is the word, and with Jesus warns about the deceitfulness of riches, in that wealth and riches will lie to you. It'll promise you something that it cannot deliver, but people believe that it can. Like, the majority of this world believes that there's something that it can deliver them.
And probably the richest people can tell you that.
Yeah. It is a deceit. And see, that, yeah, most of the, because I know some exorbitantly wealthy people, and they're some of the most depressed, miserable, pathetic people you'll ever meet. If you ever get them alone and they're by themselves, and you dig a little bit with them, they'll collapse, because it's like, because they know that it's a sham, and so for them, that's why too many of those people that that are, have those levels of wealth, that's why they start going on a power kick, because they realize that the money there's nothing there. There's no there in the end. So for them, it's like, okay, if that's not it, and so then it's the pleasure and it's power, and the pleasure, the problem with that is that things that used to get them off yesterday don't get them off now, and so it just gets more and more depraved, and then so they just keep going for more and more heightened stuff, crazier stuff, but then there's this power, the need to control. So sex, money, power. You know, those are, you know, it's like,
go to the cycle.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a downward cycle, and just continually just destroys a person, and you see a shell of what they're now. So Jesus warns about that. Now here again, with the word that in verse 22, it says that the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So when children of God get caught up with in this game, the game that's going on, and they get locked into it, because there's something there, they don't trust the word of God and what God has really spoken to them. they never connect with who they really are. And so for them, they're stuck, again, in the world system. And the worst part is, you're stuck in the world system that hates you, trying to make it in a system that completely despises you and what's inside of you. So what they do with you is they because there is power in you, because you're connected with the Father, so they use you like a battery. So they'll put you in a spot where they can access you, where they can tap you, where they can get something out of you, but you will just be a battery to them. Something that they'll switch on, switch off, kick around, try to get a charge out of whenever they're, because they have no power in and of themselves. So they're, they're cut off from the vine, John 15. They're like branches that are broken off and thrown away. So they have no life in themselves, so they have to suck it off of you. So one of the worst places to be is to be trying to... You can't have a foot in the world and a foot in the kingdom of God. To try to make it in the world, it's like go one way or the other. You know? I mean, Martin Luther said, if you're going to sin, sin boldly. You know, it's just like, I mean, just because, you know, if you got to go that way, go that way, max it out, see that there's nothing there at all, and then turn to the Father and come running back to Him. Because otherwise, you try to do this half and half, and you're stuck in no man's land for your entire life, completely being, and then by the time you get to the end of your life, it's like, it was wasted. All of it was wasted. So, okay. So there is a deceitfulness of wealth that is there, though, and it does promise and it allures. There's a, it's like the big carrot, right? Okay. All of this stuff. Now, there's a world system that pushes this. There's a world system that, because I mean, there was no. I mean, money is not. It's. I mean, you have to go back and do a little research on banking and where all of this stuff even came from, you know, and how this. But there's all of this stuff is a creation of that system. Now, let's look a little bit about the system. All right, Revelation chapter 18. Now, Revelation 18 is talking about Babylon, but I want to look at this. I don't want to focus on the place, but rather the characteristics of the system. Because Babylon is because I mean, there's ancient times Babylon that, you know, was destroyed and all of the things that happened with it. But Babylon comes again, it resurfaces. All of this stuff is cyclical. But past that, I want chapter 18. I want to look at and keep in mind as we read through this one the characteristics of the Babylonian system. It speaks a lot about the economic system that's there. Okay. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she had filled, full, had filled, filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in her in one day, death, and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for they fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruit that thine soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, with no craftsman, for whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more in all thee, at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her were found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Yeah. Okay. So this is the Babylon system. This is the system now that, you know, welcome to the world. So this is what is surrounding you. This is what outnumbers you. This is what would consume you and devour you if it were not for the power of God that saves you. So Jesus, even when he talked to Paul on the road, and he said, look, to take them from the power of Satan unto God, to save them from the power of the enemy and bring them unto... So the God is the one that ultimately judges and deals with the system. Okay, a little bit more on how to recognize the system. What are some characteristics that you see when you hear this one? There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. I'll start going through them, and then you can add more when you see them. All right. One, it's infectious. Okay? Verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Again, Jesus talking about the deceitfulness of riches. So there's an infectious, corrupting nature to that system that seeps in to anybody. And so it is only the power of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, that will be able to cleanse that out of your heart and your mind. But you have to come to God with absolute honesty before Him and yielding yourself to Him for that process to even begin to take place. Because if not, what happens is you end up with you end up deceiving even yourself in saying, "Oh, okay, I'm doing this for God," and then do it, but you're really still infected with the world. And so, rather than being set free from the world, now you just religify it. And there's enough examples that you know for yourself of people that have done that. And, you know, somebody was even talking to me earlier today, like, "Oh, this person is, you know, the one that leads all the Bible studies, and I can't believe that they're doing it." Well, they're infected with the world still. And many, many times, the world, this evil system, will do all kinds of good works. So it'll put a sugar coating on a crap sandwich. You know, it's just like, so it'll look like there's something sweet and nice about it. So they cover it up with good works, but really it's an infectious, horrible, rotten, dirty apple that's there. Okay. Okay. Another one is that those that are in and partakers of this system, this economic system, are rewarded by the devil for doing his work. And they're rewarded materially, and they're rewarded now. Okay, so what's the work of the devil? John chapter 10, verse 10. Sorry, whenever I start talking, I feel like my throat starts getting this thing. I know. John 10:10 says, Jesus talking about it, says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." So that's the kingdom of the devil. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Okay, so what does the devil do and what does his system do? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. So, in the economic system, the economic manifestation of the world, steal, kill, destroy, you're rewarded. So if somebody in the world is doing that, is pushing that, and a lot of the stuff that is the big rewards are paid off on the highest levels. The guys that are the untouchables by, you know, the law are murdering tens and hundreds of thousands of people. And they're being rewarded for that.
You also wonder, something that always occurs to me is I see Christian people suffer so much financially.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, they're really persecuted, and then people from other religions just do so well. Mm-hmm. I just wonder why.
Yeah. Well, if you're a true follower of Christ, you will look to the Father for your provision and not to the world. Because if you look to the world, what happens is the world says, "Oh, you want some of this? Well, here's what you got to do to get it." And if it's here's what you got to do to get it, but if you really do belong to the Father, they're really not going to give you much, because what you're going to end up happening is they put you in a place where they can use you as a battery, and you, because God never loses any of those that are His, but you have now defaulted into that system, and you're being sucked dry. So if you're a true follower of Christ, you take no part in this system, and you look to the Father for your provision. And what happens is you may work a job because He creates the opportunity for that. But whatever it is, you take it as it comes. So, like Joseph or Daniel, He may put you in a high position in some place. He may put you in the highest echelons of government or business. That's His call. Or you may be a janitor and just barely able to feed you and your family. But the promise of God, and we'll get to this, is that He will take care of you. But you have, and so this is part of this process of realizing. See, what happens is when they look to the world, they look to the world for their provision. And what they do is they exchange their immortal soul for provision in the world and for success in the world. And sometimes all they get is a measly, you know, $40,000 a year job, and a pension fund, and a retirement, and you know, now go push these papers around for the next 30 years and be a good little slave and wait till we get to harvest your soul.
But they're happy. So
no, they're not. Well, they're empty.
Yeah, they're empty, but they're like.
Okay,
they're not
lacking. Yeah, I'm in Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when the children of Israel got out of Egypt, and then they're in the wilderness, and they're like, well, shoot, we're struggling here,
yeah.
And they look back and like, well, at least when we were in Egypt,
yeah.
We had you know, some lentils to eat, and we had some, you know, so like reflecting back on, okay, we were slaves, but at least we had some, you know, we didn't get tested like this. And the world will, you know, give you a bowl of lentil soup in exchange for your soul, in exchange for the blessing that God's put in. It'll give you something. It will give you some scraps. I mean, or sometimes, actually, the further along that you go with the Father, the bigger the reward is that they'll give you. Because the last thing they want to see is for you to truly connect up with Him. So that's why with Jesus, it's like, came to the point where Lucifer was like, I'll give it all to you. I'll give you the whole kit and caboodle right now. All you got to do is just bow down and worship me. So that was the best card that he had to play. He's like, look, I'll just give it all to you. I mean, I know what I'm working. Here's the best I got to give you. And Jesus is like, you know, it's despicable to him because he knew what the game was. But a lot of people stop off a lot earlier than that. okay. So it's infectious. You're in that system. People are rewarded by the devil for doing his work. All right. Another thing is that it's a matriarchy, not a patriarchy. Now you remember, and I know you remember when we talked, even we go all the way back to the fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an inversion of the order of God. So it makes sense that one is backwards from the other. One system, the systems are diametrically opposed to each other, so one is a reversal of the order of what God's is. So God's system would be a husband and a wife, and them being, you know, them being brought together. But there's his system also is like with the structure that he puts in place, even in a family, of how a family should operate and the way that a family should work for the sake of the protection of the home and the protection of the family. That system gets flipped, and so the world system would feminize men and would make women, you know, become like men, you know, in the workplace. Get out there, baby, and, you know, get, you know, come on, you know, what are you? It's time for you to make your move. And so it flips it. So the world system is in the world economic system is a matriarchy. And what you see many times is you see men popped out on the stage. So yeah, okay, you get out there and do your little dance. But the ones controlling it behind the scenes are the women.
Say carefully.
No. And there is definitely a beautiful place with how God puts together a partnership and a marriage. That's His thing. Don't confuse that with the system of the world and what the world does. So those are two different things. But yeah, the ones within a cultic stuff for sure. Yeah,
I
know.
I don't understand your point.
It's an inversion of God's way, God's system, God's order. Okay? So see, and here's something too, like for us, we find fulfillment when we get into the way that God designed and intended for things to work and to function. So there is no fulfillment, no true fulfillment in trying to do things another way besides God's. So what the world will do is it'll twist it and say, no, come over here, try this, try that, and to get you into something that's not God's plan, not God's order, so that what it does is, easy example, sex outside of marriage. So what the world will do is it says, oh, you know, come on, it's the new age, it's, you know, everybody's doing it, and come on, look at all the fun that you're missing. But it doesn't show the damage that takes place to people with, so it doesn't show you that side of it at all. I mean, what's the images that you see? You know, I mean, it's what are you brainwashed towards if you're, I mean, so.
And the world has made it a norm.
Yeah, yeah, and so, but what it does is it damages people, and it's God. Now, God can heal, God can restore, and God can make new for sure. But that is also work that He has to do, and somebody has to turn their life over to Him to be restored from that. But it's a damaging process that the world seeks to do to people, to rob them of innocence and to impact their mind and to so their thoughts and all of that, so that it affects future things that even happen with them. So again, because what's the world trying to do? It's trying to keep you from connecting up with the Father, keep you from connecting up with who you really are in Him. So that is there to try to twist you. So if you realize, okay, this is part of the game, I'm not going to fall for that trap. Father, I'm made a certain way, that's obvious. So give me the strength and show me what I need to do to be able to go your way. And then He does. He equips, He empowers, He shows you. And in the places where there's a weakness or a shortcoming, you repent, you get on God's page, and you say, Lord, empower me to be able to come out of this. But you want things His way, because His way is actually the path of life. His way is the path of wholeness, of restoration, of being restored to Him. So it's not to get stuck on, because the world damages everybody, one way or another it does. But whatever the case may be, you say, all right, that's not it. That much I do realize, God, show me your will and give me the strength to be able to go that way, and that's the way I want to go. So from now on, that's the way. So it's like, that's, but the world, and here we're focusing on the economic system, they've deliberately inverted it, and they keep it like that. And that's the way they want it. Okay. Alright. Another characteristic is that it's evil trade, evil commerce. It's not, there is a right, healthy way to do something, to do, all right, like Matthew 25 and verse 15, where Jesus talks about, the parable of the talents, and he says, for the kingdom of, verse 14 says, for the kingdom of God is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents, and likewise he that had received 2, and also he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoned with them. So that he that had received the 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So, okay, we'll just stop there. We won't get into the rest of it. But there's a proper way to do business. There's a way that God says, well done. There's something He's just like, thumbs up, nice job. The world and the world system, there's an evil system that's there in place as well. And what you see about it, even when you look at some of the characteristics, I mean, especially when you get towards the base of it, it says, and it deals even in slaves and the souls of men. So it's a system that it's benefit at the expense of, at the cost of others. So it's something where in the end the focus of it, the priority of it is, it's at any cost. So it's to get at any cost. And if that means, again, rob, steal, kill, destroy, sure. So, you know, if being a good corporate citizen is the way to get the most profit, I'll be that. Or, if killing you is the way to get the most profit, I will do that. Whatever it is that it takes to maximize what they get out of what they can get is what they'll do. So people mistake sometimes all the CSR stuff. It's not because anybody wants to be a good corporate citizen. It's because, in the end, for most of these groups, and I don't want to say all of them, but for most of them, it's because, wait, you maximize more, you will get even more out of it if you do this and if you just look like a good guy. You know? Okay. Or, if you kill somebody. And they do. They do that as well. So, okay, the pursuit is luxury based on the suffering of others. Okay, another thing. It works in union with political leadership. So the world and the world system and the world's economic system, the corrupt one, the one that is empowered by demonic forces, that is entrenched, that will be here for the entire time that you are alive, that unless, you know, until God destroys the whole thing, it is in unison, in bed with, literally, political leadership in the world. So there's, we'll get into that maybe a little bit more next in the next couple of series, but or next couple of lessons. But for now, just know that it's all intertwined. So, so they all are working together, and they know who you are, and that you're not one of them. Okay. So again, it deals in the souls of men too. So with all of the commerce and all of the trade and all of this stuff, it also deals in people. And see, there's that spiritual dynamic behind, again, all of the stuff that's going on, that on a spiritual level, it harvests the souls of men as well, and that's traded as well. So when God sets you free, because your soul is incredibly valuable. Your soul is the most valuable thing. The value of a soul is worth more than everything the world has. So what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? So the value of your soul is worth far more than the entire world. So that is the most precious thing that they got to work with, and so they're trying to work with that. They're trying to get that. So it's a goal. It's a goal of the system. And it's economically traded. So you have to be in possession of your soul when you would pass on from here. And that the only way that happens is because Christ in you. Because their goal is to scalp it, is to take it. And to replace your soul with a demonic spirit. So that's why sometimes you'll meet somebody and it's like it's not the same person anymore. Yeah. You know, it's like, well, that's not, you know, JoJo. You know, it's like it's nothing like JoJo. And now he's a mover and shaker in the world. You notice that? So it's like you'll meet them again, it's like, whoa, that's not the same guy I knew. And now he's Mr. CEO or he's Mr. Trading or whatever. Because it's not him anymore. See, so they've taken... That guy made the trade, but he doesn't even get to stick around to enjoy it. Because they scalp him, and they replace him with the demonic spirit that now uses the carcass for as long as it can, that car, as long as it can max that thing out. And that's what gets success in the world. If you really could see, you know, past the natural to see what's really going on in the realm of, like, spirit, and it's not what you see. Yeah. You run away kicking and screaming. You're like, yeah! Okay. It deals with the soul of man. All right. Obviously, verse 20 in Revelation 18, that it's an enemy of God. So this economic system that's established is point blank enemy of God. And there is no remorse whatsoever at the destruction of it that comes. Now God allows it to exist for a while because ultimately He's glorified in His people that come out and come through that. So there's a glorification of even God and His purposes, even of allowing this thing to exist. So this is part of His deal. But there's no tear shed whatsoever for the destruction of that system, which happens, which will happen, which, you know, you will be able to see. So when it happens, it's like, you know, rejoice over her. Thy heavens and the holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. All right. Another thing is that this system is responsible for the blood of the prophets, the saints, and of all that were slain on the earth. It doesn't say many that were slain on the earth. It says all. So the love of money is the root of all evil. There's all kinds of evil. So you got that. You have the okay, what's the biggest industry in the world? The number one industry in the world. That's number three. That's the sex industry. Well, if you talk about human trafficking, human trafficking is number three. Number one? The arms industry. The arms industry is the number one industry in the world. It's the number one moneymaker in the world. And where does it... Okay, so now you see now how this book is completely alive and completely relevant to everything that is going on with you and happening with you at this very immediate moment in time, where God will show you something, and it's like right there in His Word, because He's giving you what you need to navigate through this life in this world. The number one industry in this world is arms.
Drugs.
Music, man, music is like dying right now. Music, but music is, well, okay, music is a huge, humongous business, but it's the whole...
But there's so much involved.
Yeah, there's so much.
Not music.
But human trafficking is...
It's like we played the three, actually.
Yeah.
Arms trafficking.
Yeah.
Well, and human trafficking is also slavery, is also forced labor, is also... Is also conscription, child conscription. There's so many different manifestations of it. But all of this stuff is part of that economic system. So okay. All right, a few more minutes and we'll stop. But I think we can close this one out today. All right, Proverbs chapter 1. And let's start at verse 10. This is, see, even Solomon, when he was talking about this, he's when he's writing the Proverbs, he's from the very start, he's getting clued in. All right. It says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and we shall have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way of them, refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to do evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owner thereof." Okay, that's the world. Notice too that it says, they cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. See, it's a collective. And again, on a spiritual level, one kingdom that finances the whole thing. So, when people get initiated into that system, when they give themselves over to that system, they're then allowed to, and they're allowed, and they get from that system. That system gives them. So it pays out. And they all dip into that bag. And so it's like, alright, if you want to, come on, join us. Be part of this thing. So this alluring, infectious system is beckoning. And the instructions right there from the very beginning of Proverbs. If you haven't read Proverbs, you must read Proverbs. The warning is, look, don't go that way. You know, don't go down that path. There's a very real path, there's a very real offer. And they initiate people into that. Okay. Cut it short a little bit here, but I wanted to show you this. Okay. World, and the world and the world system. How many of you have ever seen this? You ever seen it? This is called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs, right? You've seen it? Yeah, yeah. Business colleges, many times what they do, especially with human resource.
Yes.
Human resource classes, they'll have you'll like study Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs.
We said Maslow, but
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And basically what it is, and this is again the way the world thinks. And so this is popular psychology. All these guys will run this stuff around in them. Okay, so it starts where the way that this works in the world is they say, okay, you need you start at these base needs, and once these base needs are fulfilled, you then can move on to a higher level need. So it starts with psychological, so breathing, food, water, sex is right there, okay? Sleep, homeostasis, excretion. Wow, the guy... Okay, I guess they're both... Okay, the next level up says safety, says security of the body and employment of resources, of morality, of the family, of health, of property. The next level up, it says love, belonging, and says friendship, family, sexual intimacy.
All right.
and there's a break between those. That's of health and property. Okay. Employment was in between there. Okay. All right. Then the next level up says esteem. It says self-esteem, confidence, achievement, respect of others, respect by others. And then the top level says self-actualization. So, okay, if you've got all of these other things taken care of, then in the world they say, all right, morality, creativity, spontaneity, problem-solving, lack of prejudice, acceptance of facts.
So, what is this exactly?
This is called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. You can,
okay.
It's
like what you need, basically.
Yeah, no, this is... In probably in every major university that will teach human resources in the world, you'll probably touch on this. And now this is the way that the world works. And this is the way they say, okay, now when you're motivating your staff and you're working like that, you have to make sure that, you know, you're working your way up these needs and everything like that. Now, this is, again, diametrically opposed to the kingdom of God. Because again, like I said, everything between these two is inverted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
Just flip the thing upside down, and now you all of a sudden have where it is. What did God say? So the primary thing He say, what they would call self-actualization. What did Jesus say? Go to Matthew 6, and we'll just close here. Because I have to show you. We have to go through and say, okay, now what do we do with this? All right, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And certainly, so we're surrounded by the evil thereof. And he says, since you're existing in it, you're surrounded by it, here's what you need to know. Seek first the kingdom. What they would say is the last thing you kind of get to once you get all this other stuff taken care of, and now try to achieve enlightenment, divine one. And it's like, no. Jesus says, skip all of that. Seek first the kingdom, and the one that made you will take care of everything else. But you seek that. You seek him. You seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of the rest. The rest of it will be put together and taken care of by him. And that's complete and total dependence on the Father. That's two systems in complete opposition that work completely different than each other. And if you're going to follow the Father, that's the way you have to go. So if you're going to follow the Father, that's the way you must go. And it's a free will choice. Okay, cool.